It's never wrong to brag on God. It's always wrong to brag on man. And unless you're a wife, and then you can brag on your husband. But it's never wrong to brag on God. It's never wrong to brag on God. And Exodus 25, verse 22. Been doing this, trying to get a better comprehension and understanding my personal life about the privilege that we have to go behind the veil. The privilege that we have to speak with God. That we're in Christ, and because we're in Christ, we're in God. And we can't get to God, but because we're in Christ, we can get to God. And so I was studying this and doing some reading, and I came across this, and I don't know if it's... I know this is where the Lord wants us this morning, preaching-wise, but I don't know that I can get it out without the help of God. Let's put it that way. I need God to help us this morning. And look in verse 6, it's 25, verse 22. The Bible says, "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to be in the house of God this morning. God, I'm thankful, God, that you want to commune with us, God. Lord, that you want to speak to us. Lord, there's more, God, than just being in your presence. Lord, you said you would carry on conversation, that you would, Lord, you wanted to have fellowship and you wanted to communicate with us. And Father, I pray that you would ever, Lord, use this message this morning. Speak to our hearts. You know our physical ailments. You know what we're dealing with. Lord, our allergy responses to things. And God, I pray this morning that you would touch us and help us. God, I pray that you'd crucify our flesh, you'd help us to crucify our flesh, bring it under subjection, not let it be a hindrance, God, Lord, to the work of God this morning. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the good testimony. Lord, help us, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. He said there in verse 22, he said, "Not only will I meet with you, but," he said, "I will commune with you." It's one thing to be in the presence of God, it's another thing to hear His voice. It's another thing to communicate, to have conversation. The word commune means to speak or to pronounce. God wants to bring light and life and fruitfulness out of emptiness and darkness. And He does that through His Word to us. The word is defined as the medium that expresses a desire or thought. Without words, we would not be able to communicate. We would not be able to understand one's desires or one's thoughts. We would not be able to have a conversation. We would not be able to understand their needs. We would not be understand their concern or their compassion or hear their opinion or hear their desire. But it takes words to use God, and God designed it that way. That we understand that we are the only created being that God has given words to. Now, we know that animals communicate with sounds, but it's just vocal sounds. It's not words. An animal cannot express deep desires. They can express needs, and they have a way of communicating and calling out one to another, whether it be for reproductive purposes or hunting purposes or just to let one know that they're there. But as far as to have a intelligible communication and conversation, God has only granted mankind the ability to have words and to speak and to understand words. But I want you to understand this. The reason that God gave man words was not that we could communicate one with another, but that God could communicate with us. Does that make sense? We understand to be, it's one thing, and I love to be in the presence of God, and there's nothing like being in just in the presence of God. It's just like being in the presence of my wife and being in the presence of the one that I love. But understand, it's a different when communication takes place. It's a different when words are exchanged. Conversation is started. We hear of, we get to speak of others' desires and hear others' desires and speak of our desires and our opinions and our feelings. If you ever sit down with somebody you don't know and they're hard to talk to, you know, you begin to ask questions. You say, where are you from, Georgia? What do? Work. What are you doing here? Going to the doctor. You ever tried to communicate with somebody who don't talk much? You know? You try to get to know them, but they don't speak. Or have you ever tried to communicate with a deaf person? If you don't know sign language and you try, or even someone, my family laughs at me when I try to speak to someone in a different language, I automatically pick up their dialect and I think it's going to make my English words be more understandable to them. Well, that's the way they're talking to me, so I figured, you know, But they can't understand because they don't understand the words that's coming off our lips. We don't have a communication, but God has designed you and I to be able to communicate with Him. Here He said, not only will I meet with you there behind the veil, but if you'll come to where I am, He said, I will communicate with you there. We'll commune, we'll have conversation, we'll fellowship. I'll be able to listen to hear you speak, but you can hear what I have to say. Man, what a privilege that is. He didn't do that for the animals. Theirs didn't do that for the fish. He didn't do that for the birds. Of all the creation that God created, yes, He has His ways of they have their ways of glorifying God, and we'll see that in just a moment. But understand, we know this, that God has created man to have fellowship and communication with Him, and it's the thing that we miss the most and we make the least of in our life. When's the last time you just sat down and talked to God? When's the last time you let God talk to you? When's the last time you just had communication? I'm talking about letting Him know your desires and your opinions. If Tina and I have conversations, we have an open relationship. We have an honest relationship, and I can speak honestly and openly with her. She may disagree with me. Sometimes things I say may even offend her or hurt her. But she knows that it's not being done intentionally. We have an open line of communication. We tried to establish that years ago in our marriage. Because understand this, if we don't communicate one with another, then what happens? We start harboring ill feelings, or we start harboring this, and we, with that lack of communication, makes us question the other one's motives. Are you listening to me? The other one's motives, the other one's desires, the other one's love, the other one's care. But when we communicate one with another and we speak in words, okay, just because I feel it in here does not mean that it relates to her and that she can understand it if I don't speak it. And God only done that to mankind. And He told us there, He said there in Genesis, He said, if you'll come into here, He said, I will meet with you there. And understand, there's one thing to talk on the phone, and there's another thing to speak face to face. Let's back this up for just a moment. And this is not going to be fast message, okay? And I won't. Now, there's no way I'll get it all preached tonight. Okay, don't eat, or this morning nor tonight. So don't worry about it. All right. There's one thing when I speak to her on the telephone. There's another thing when I send her a text. Okay? I send her a text and it's very impersonal. When we speak on the phone, I can tell from the sound of her voice what kind of mood she's in. I can tell if she's stressed. I can tell if she's happy. And sometimes it's just the sound of her voice that I need to hear. Okay? But it's nothing like when I get to meet her face to face and sit down and talk to her. Understand. Let me see, Bob. Here is our texting. Here is God's writing to us. So let's take this to today's level. This is God's text to us. This is the messages He sends. Okay? But it's more than that. It's also a love letter to us. But it's even more than that. It's an encyclopedia to us. And it's a dictionary to us. And it's not about the world. It's about the God that created the world. So understand the communication with God. So we look at texting as the words coming off the page, the written word. Our phone call, we could say, is our prayer life. Okay? We're talking one to another. But He said that there was a place that we could come in and we could meet face to face and communicate. And you've been in the presence of God before, and you know what it's like to be in the presence of God when you feel like you're just surrounded by God and you're there and it's just you and God, and there's fellowship going on and there's communication going on, and then there's times also you've went into your prayer closet and you felt like you was making a long distance phone call. You knew God was hearing you because God told you in His Word that if we would ask anything under His name and we was praying according to faith, and we know that He heard us, but we understand this also, that He seemed like that He was on the other side of the world and not in here sitting here beside us. And here we have the privilege. God said there, He said, talking to the high priest, He said, when you come in, I'm there behind the veil. He said, it's there I will meet with you and I will commune with you. I will give you words. I will speak to you. I will let you know my opinion. I'll let you know my thoughts. God don't have an opinion. He just has a thought. I guess God has an opinion. I mean, I guess you could say God has an opinion, but it don't change. But He says, there I will talk to you. You understand God did not create the earth with His words, because we're going to look at the power of His Word in just a moment. God did not create the earth with His words because He was empty. Y'all do believe that, right? God didn't create this earth because He was empty. God didn't create this earth through His Word because He needed to. God created this earth because He wanted to. He didn't have to.
Amen.
But He wanted to. And He wanted to create this earth, and He wanted to create it in all of its beauty and all of its glory and all of its splendor. And He wanted to do it so that we could see the glory of God. Now think about this just for a moment. Jonathan Edwards said this: 'Tis no argument of the emptiness or deficiency of a fountain that is inclined to overflow. So we don't glorify God by improving His glory, but by seeing and savoring and showing His glory. See, God didn't need to create the world. God chose to create the world. And the Bible says that God created the world to be inhabited. And we're going to look at that. And I don't care what they tell you today, global warming is a money scam.
Amen.
It's all it is. That's all it is.
Amen.
It's not true. The earth has cycles, yes. It may be warmer for a period of years, but we're headed in. I read this morning, we were headed into, is it La Nina this year? It's supposed to be a hot, dry year. Okay? Global warming, carbon footprint, all of that is nothing but a money scam to get you and I under control. That's all it is. Okay? It's fear. That's all it is. God created the earth to be inhabited. God created the earth to be enjoyed. He created the earth that we might see His glory.
Right.
The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
All we have to do is look up, and last night it was such a cool, crisp night, and there was no moisture in the air, and man, the stars were out. It was, they were such darkness, but yet the stars were so bright if you seen them. What was it? They were declaring the glory of God. Yes, scientists has tried to figure out what makes the stars burn, and man, they're light years away, and light travels so fast. I mean, I can't even, my mind's done forgot it, but the speed of light, and you know how the, if they've already, they say that most of them burn out. I don't understand that.
Right.
How some of them burn out still shining. But here's my thing. How do they know? Have they ever been to a star? No. That's like telling the sun, well, the sun is made up of this, this, and this, and this. Who has went to the sun and got a sample and brought it back? How do you know that? I don't. I don't know what the sun made up, but I do know this, that God made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. But He done it for His glory. And He done it by His Word. God done it by His Word. And I want you to see this morning, and just one point, and I want us to look at the power of the Word of God. Look, we have, as Christians, we as born-again believers, we have the privilege to communicate through words to God, and God communicates to us through words. Look at the power of God's Word. Go to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, how do they say the earth is the millions years old? Well, or how did this happen? How did all this happen? Well, I just believe this. I believe God created a mature earth. I believe just like God created a mature chicken. Okay? I can tell you which come first, the chicken or the egg. The chicken did.
Amen.
You don't know why? Because they wasn't nothing to hatch the egg. God created everything in maturity. So I told them to bring forth and multiply. Okay? But in the beginning, God. God did it. God created the heavens and the earth. Look at what the Bible said. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Look in verse number 3. And God said. What did He say? Words. He said words. You understand that? He didn't have to come up with some scientific equation. He didn't have to come and sit down and say, okay, you know, if I push this button, this is going to happen, and I make this formula over here and put these elements and these atoms together, and I do these things, then maybe we'll do a test trial and see what happens. That ain't what God did. Bible said, and God said. What did he say? He said words. God said, let there be light. Let there be light. Now notice this. What does the next four words say? And there was light. So let's break this third verse down right here. Look at it. Here, God is declaring a truth and expressing an opinion and a desire. Not necessarily an opinion, but a desire. He said, let there be light. Well, first of all, let's back this up. Let's look at the power of this word. God said, let there be light. It was a spoken word, okay? But we wasn't there. Right. So we have a recording in the written word to help us to understand what God did. He also allows us to understand what God is doing. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish whatsoever he sends it out to do. And God said, now notice in verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was no light, there was no sun. This is even before the sun ever shined. Before the sun was ever created. God said, let there be light. Now, I believe this. This was the light of Jesus Christ. Okay? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. What did He say over there in John 5:16? I am the light of the world. Okay? So God said, let there be light, and all of a sudden, light come on. Because understand this, in heaven, there's no need for the sun because Jesus is brighter than the sun. Right. But I want you to say this. I want you to see the power of God's Word. God said, let there be light. And light appeared out of nowhere. Think about it. God said, let there be light, and light appeared. There was darkness, there was emptiness, there was void, there was chaos, there was not a clue of what was going on. God knew, but it was just chaos. And God said, shed some light on the situation. Let there be light. And there was light. God said it, and it was so. Six different times you will find that God said it, and then it'll say it was so. I'm talking about the power of the Word of God. The power in God's Word that when He speaks, His words are clothed in power and authority. Think about that just for a moment. The words that He speaks are clothed with power and authority. He said, let there be light. There was darkness. He said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, light appeared. Just by speaking a word. Do you realize that's who you and I have the privilege to communicate with behind the veil?
Amen.
Just the power of His voice, the power of His Word. The One that made light out of darkness, that brought fullness. Because the Bible said the earth was without form and void. That means it was empty. And God brought something fruitful out of something that was empty. God brought light out of something that was dark. Are you listening? Are you getting? Is the Spirit of God maybe letting a light come on to you? When you feel that emptiness and that darkness and that void in your life, that God has a word that can change and shed light on your situation, can change your emptiness to full, can change your darkness into light. He said, I want to communicate with you. I want to share with you my words. I want to speak to you. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Now we know this. Sometimes God speaks in a still small voice. We know that according to Elijah over there, when he was hiding in the cave, when God came by and he wasn't in the fire and he wasn't in the whirlwind, and God came by and he was in that still small voice. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the voice of the Lamb is the sound of many waters. Miss Sheila's our hiker in here, and she probably's hiked to some falls, and I've never been. Some of y'all may have been to Niagara Falls. I don't know, but Caleb and I was turkey hunting Friday morning, and I said, I knew there were some falls around. We couldn't get to them because it was somebody else's property, and we weren't going to trespass. But anyway, when it got quiet, we could hear them. You say, what did you hear? The sound of rushing waters. Another place about it is what the Bible calls his voice about. It's the sound of rushing waters. It's a roar. Sometimes it's a still small voice. But it doesn't matter whether it's still or whether it's a roar, whether it's small or whether it's big. It's still got power all the same. And here he said, let there be light, and there was light. And understand this, if you and I find ourselves in emptiness, and you and I find ourselves in chaos, and you and I find ourselves in darkness, all it does is for God to say, let there be light, and it can change. His words is clothed in power and authority, and it doesn't matter who it is, what it is. It doesn't matter if it's the devils of hell. It doesn't matter if it's mankind. It doesn't matter where the trouble's coming from, what's creating the chaos, what's creating the darkness. And sometimes, Brother Green, in my life, I feel empty and I feel void and I feel like I'm in darkness and I cannot put my finger on it.
Amen.
And I can't tell you why it's there, where it came from. But it's there. But one word from God, and it's gone.
Amen.
One word.
Amen.
He sheds light on the situation. The darkness. There's no more darkness there. Because understand, light dispels darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And when the light came on, the darkness left. Understand this, he had to create something to separate the light and the darkness. And I don't know that we'll ever get there, but let's look back through these, and I'll close right here because I want you to see these, and I'll be done. The agent of change or in creation is the Word of God. Without the Word of God and the Spirit of God brooding, no change will be made. And I want to say this to you, no saint can live and grow without the Word of God. No change will be made in our life without the Word of God. Not the mechanical, scientific approach, but the express desire of God put in a medium that we can understand. And do you understand that God speaks to us in a language and on words that are on our terms? Now, when I say our terms, I mean our level. He speaks to us in words that we understand. The power of His Word. That, and there will be no change. We can wish it. We can long for it. We can desire it. But here's the other side of this. Our words are as important to God as God's Word is to us. Remember the don't pray crazy, hazy, or lazy? Y'all remember that?
Amen.
Be specific. Your words. Your words. Lord, I need this. Lord, this is how I'm feeling. We have the privilege of communicating with God. We have an high priest who's not been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible said there in Hebrews that we have the ability to go in by a new and living way there through the blood of it, veil of His flesh and the blood of His covenant, which He hath consecrated for us. He said, let us come into the throne of grace with boldness. It doesn't mean cockiness. It doesn't mean arrogance. He says, but let us come into the throne of grace with boldness that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We can go in and talk to Him. We can speak to Him. Now, sometimes we're so heartbroken. And thank God that He understands our groans, because the Bible says the Spirit of God intercedes for us with groanings which can't be uttered. And sometimes our heart is so broke that all we can do is make an utterance. Oh, God. Oh. You're just uttering. But sometimes you're not that heartbroken, but you have specific needs. You have specific questions. Man, what kind of God would we be serving that doesn't communicate with us? What kind of God would we be serving? And do you understand, if all it was the rituals and all it was the religion and there was no personal relationship, then the religion that we're hung up in would be no different than any other religion. Because they serve a dead God. But we're not that way. Amen. We have a living hope. We serve a living God. Amen. And just the power of His Word can bring light and dispel darkness and dispel chaos and dispel emptiness in our life. God said, if you'll come in, I'll talk to you. I'll commune with you. I'll speak to you. The power of His Word. He orchestrated the range of elements by His Word. I'm closing. He orchestrated it through His Word. As a director or a conductor directs the orchestra, and all, think about the earth and all that it is. I mean, man, people are still, Miss Evelyn, you come on the piano. People are still studying today, how a plant lives. You say, well, all we know that it's all by the roots pull up the water and you know, it pulls out the nutrients, and then photosynthesis, you know, you have to have the sunlight to cause photosynthesis, in which turns it into nutrients into sugars, and it allows the plants to grow. Yeah. Explain it. Tell me how them little cells know what to do. Tell me how them roots know where to go. You know, they're still studying it. Okay? They're still studying how the flower blooms. They're still studying. Oh, we know how it blooms. No, no, they don't. They know that it blooms. They don't know how it blooms.
Amen.
They're still studying. And God said, all God said on that day was this. He said, let the herb bring forth seed. I'm talking about the power of God's Word. He said, let the herb bring forth seed. Huh. Those four little words, and they're still studying it 6,000 years later, trying to figure out how it brings forth seed. Oh, we know the mechanics of it.
Right.
But they can't do it without God.
Amen.
Think about the human body. If they knew everything about the human body, you'd get in and out of the doctor in 30 minutes. But it's kind of like I was the other day. And then when she looked at me, she says, you have muddied the waters again. I'm like, praise God. That's my job. It's to muddy the waters. That ain't good when your doctor looks at you and says, well, you've muddied the waters again. I'm like, I'm sorry.
That's who I am.
Yeah, that's who I am. They don't know.
That's right.
But God just, I mean, they're still studying the behaviors of animals and they're still studying the climate. I mean, they're studying all of this stuff. And we're talking about in six literal days, God did it through His Word. Just His Word.
Amen.
And God said, if you'll come in where I'm at, I'll speak words to you. And if His words can do that to an empty void earth, and we're still amazed at its glory, of His glory, what could His word do to a dry and thirsty soul? As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You want to know why we act dead? Because we are dead. Because we're not communicating with the One who has the power to bring life forth. And God said, I'll commune with you. I'll talk to you. I'll share my heart with you. You can share your heart with me. But guess what? I done chased you for years. Are you listening to me? He said, I chased you before you got saved because you didn't have enough sense to chase me. I called you, I chose you, I went after you, and I brought you to me. I went to find you. He says, but now, you want to talk, you got to call me.
Right.
You say you got Bible? Glad you asked. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. You want to know what God thinks about a situation? You draw nigh to Him. You need a word of encouragement from God? You draw nigh to Him. You need His word to speak power and turn your world upside down? That's what He did to this one. He changed everything about it. You speak to Him. You draw nigh. We have the privilege to go in and talk to Him and meet with Him. We're standing all over the house.